of 1 John. We've been going through 1 John, looking at the Christian life as it's illustrated and in the book. We've been last few weeks looking at verses 15 through 17. And in this verse, we have an exhortation, and then we have reasons to back up the exhortation. Verse 15 says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world," which is just an enlargement of "love not the world." "If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Again, it does not say the love of the Father in the future will not be in him. It says the love of the Father right now is not in him. "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof," which would be the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. "But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." Last couple of weeks we've looked at the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Those three principles are characteristics. It's things that the world is infatuated with. Lust of the flesh speaks of sensuality. Lust of the eyes would speak of covetousness. Pride of life, of course, speaking of pride. We saw in last week at the close of the lesson, let's turn there in Psalm 17. Psalm 17. We have a description of those who love the world. Psalm 17 and verse 14, "From men which are thy hand, O Lord, from men of the world, which have their portion in this life." And that's descriptive of those who love the world. They have their portion in this life. But we're not to love the world. And after he mentions these three principles, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, he goes on to say that these are not of the Father. This is not of the Father, but is of the world. Which is just a way of saying that the world's ways are contrary to God's ways. And therefore, you and I are not to love the world. As we've already seen, the world centers around self. But this is not of the Father. This is not of the Father, but of the world. In other words, these things do not originate in the Father. These are not what pleases the Father. These things are of the prince of the world. Now, when we refer to the prince of the world, we're referring to Satan. We do not mean that Satan has control of the events of the world as if he is some sovereign. But he is the prince of the world's ways. He is the prince of the world's ways. He is the prince of the world has a system. And that's what we're talking about. The world has a system. We're not talking about creation. We're talking about a system. We're talking about a philosophy. And the devil is referred, Jesus referred to the devil as the prince of the world. Notice in John chapter 12, John chapter 12, again, this is not of the Father. So who is it of? Well, it's of the prince of the world. John 12, verse 31, Jesus said, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out." John chapter 14, verse 30. "Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and Jesus said, he hath nothing in me." And that's another doctrine, but that's something you need to always keep straight. He hath nothing in me. And then in John chapter 16 and verse 11, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. So there is a prince of this world, and the world's way of life, the way the world thinks, the way the world conducts itself, is in accord with the prince of the power of the air. Ephesians 2 verse 2 tells us, well, no, let's turn there. Ephesians 2, very familiar verse, we read it all the time. But verse 2 says, "Where in time past," speaking of our unsafe condition, "you walked," you conducted yourselves, "according," in accord with, in agreement with, "according to the course of this world." And then, what is the course of this world? Well, the course of this world is according to the prince of the power of the air. Again, 1 John 2 tells us it's not of the Father. The course of this world is according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh, present tense, in the children of disobedience, among whom, the children of disobedience, we had our conversation, or we conducted ourselves. So as a system, the world is under the dominion of Satan. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, "In whom the god of this world," small g, it's the same as the prince of the world. He's the god of this world. "He has blinded the minds of them which believe not." He has a power over those which believe not. He has a power over the unsaved. "Lest," in other words, he's trying to prevent something from happening. "Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." So has the world's prince, what he does is he regulates the policies of the world. The world is under the dominion of him. The world system basically is the embodiment of Satan. It's the embodiment of the devil. And therefore we are told, love not the world. You cannot, as a child of God, defend this world. You can't defend it. You can't defend its policies. And you are on dangerous, dangerous ground. And certainly not right with God, if even saved, if an individual begins to try to defend what is the very embodiment of Satan. We're not to love the world. In other words, the trend of the world is always away from God. That's the trend of the world, because it's according to the prince of the power of the air. Now, Jesus in John 18, if we turn there, John 18, verse 36. John 18, verse 36. Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world." Matthew 5 through 7, what Brother Dennis was referring to this morning, the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is talking in that message about kingdom living. his kingdom. But he tells us here that his kingdom is not of this world. In other words, it's different. It's different. His kingdom is the embodiment of him. The world is, again, the embodiment of Satan. But he says, my kingdom is not of the world. And as a system, Jesus Christ and the apostles indicted and condemned the world over and over and over again. Always, the Bible doesn't have anything good to say about the world as a system. When Jesus became incarnate, we read in John chapter 1 and verse 10 that when Jesus came into the world knew him not. That's still true today. That's the characteristic of the world. The characteristic of the world is they do not know Jesus Christ. That has always been the characteristic of the world. That will always continue to be the characteristic of the world. They know a Jesus that they have invented. They know a Jesus that they have created in their own mind. But they do not know the Jesus of the Bible. The world is ignorant of that. And Paul declared in 1 Corinthians 1, in verse 21, that the world by wisdom knew not God. The world with all their education, the world with all their genius, knows not God. Education has absolutely nothing to do with knowing the Lord. In fact, many times education gets in the way of knowing God. But my point is that education is not what, secular education is not what reveals God. The world in all of its wisdom knows not God. Now, the educated of the world, they know some things that you and I do not know. But I do not feel intimidated by that when I'm in their presence, because I know the most important things and they have no idea. They do not know. The world is ignorant of God. Not only does the world not know God, the world really does not desire to know God. Now, I believe when Adam and Eve fell, there was an immediate void in their heart. And it is a void that every human being is born with. Every human being enters this life with this void. But it is only, the only thing that can fill that void is God. And everybody's has that void. And people will say, well, they're searching. And they may be. But what are they searching for? Well, what they're searching for is they're searching for that something to fill that void. They don't even know what the void is. And they certainly do not know what is going to fill that void. But they're searching. They're searching. And that's what man does. That's man right before our eyes today is searching for that which will fill that void. But there's only one who can fill that void. So they not only do not know God, they really do not even desire to know God. But it gets worse. It's not only that the world doesn't know God. Paul in Romans 8 teaches us that the lost sinner is at enmity with God. It's not only that he's ignorant of God, he's at enmity with God. But Jesus declared in John chapter 7 and verse 7, referring to the world, he said, me, it hateth. The world hates Jesus Christ. I've heard people say, well, they're lost, but they love the Lord. I'm sorry, that's not true. That's not true. They may love the God that they've created, that they have imagined, but they do not love God. The Bible says they don't. The world hates Jesus Christ. So why is it today that so many of God's people struggle with the world not liking them? Well, if you are on the side of Jesus Christ, for the most part, this world is not going to like you. Now, God may be merciful to you, and God may give you some worldly friends. I have no doubt about that. And put a love in their heart for you. But that's not the norm. That's not the norm. That's the grace and the mercy of God. Notice in John 15, verse 18, Jesus, explaining this to the apostles, said, "If the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you." In other words, if the world hates you, the root of that is that it hates me. So the worst thing is not that the world doesn't like you. You see, the root of that problem is the hate God. And for all these reasons, we're not to love the world system. The world hates Jesus Christ. But notice what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 7. He said, "Woe unto the world because of offenses." Woe unto the world because of offenses. Plural. The world is filled with that which is offensive to Jesus Christ. And you had better be careful that you do not love that which offends Jesus Christ. And the world is filled. The world's talk, the thought process of the world, the conclusions that the world comes to, all of these things are offensive to God. Not only offensive to God, they're offensive to those who love the Lord. Jesus declared in John 14 and verse 17 that the world cannot receive the Spirit of truth. The world does not want the truth. The world does not want to hear the truth. Even when they tell you, "You can tell me the truth. I want to hear the truth. Be truthful to me." If you are, I'm telling you, that's not what they want to hear. That's not what a lost sinner, unless he's being dealt with by the Spirit of God, that's not what the lost sinner wants to hear. They don't know the truth. They don't, therefore, they, when they hear it, they do not recognize it. Jesus declared in John 7 and verse 7 that the works thereof, that is of the world, are evil. Again, this is not of the Father. Love not the world. The works of the world are evil. Paul referred to it in Galatians 1 and verse 4 as this present evil world. This present evil world. Paul in, or Peter in 1 Peter 2 and verse 20 referred to it as the pollutions of the world. This world is filthy. And as we preached last week, 1 John 4 verse 3, the spirit of Antichrist is already, even now, is already in the world. The spirit of Antichrist. And the spirit speaks of that which is behind something, that which motivates something. And the spirit of the world is the spirit of Antichrist. That is, that which is opposed to Christ. The world has a system, is opposed to Jesus Christ. Antichrist means that which is opposite of Christ, that which rivals Jesus Christ. And it is the spirit of Antichrist that operates in the world. So the Word of God, very plainly, very, very distinctly, describes the world order. And it's the world order that affects the world's education. It's what affects the world's literature. It's what affects the world's commerce. It's what affects the world's entertainment. People say, well, nothing good is coming out of Hollywood, as if you expected something good to come out of that which is evil and wicked and vile. So considered morally, the world is synonymous with the kingdom of Satan. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. Satan cannot say that because the world order is synonymous with the kingdom of Satan. So again, the life that constitutes the life of the world, 1 John chapter 2 here tells us, is not of the Father, but of the world. In other words, the world's life, the worldly life, is aligned with the character of the world. And the world is designed to feed the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Now notice in 1 John chapter 2, verse 17, we read, and the world, these are reasons why we should not love the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, referring again to the lust of flesh, the lust of the eyes. In other words, the world is vain. The world is empty. The world has nothing to offer apart from God. So he tells us in verse 15, the prohibition is, love not the world. And we want to look at what these words mean. What does it mean? Love not the world. Well, first of all, we need to consider some things it doesn't mean. And we'll look at this next week. We've run out of time. And then some things that it means. But here's what most children of God do when it comes to worldliness. Everyone has a different definition, it appears, of what worldliness is. One person will say, well, if you go to the movies, that's worldly. Or if you go to such and such a place, that's worldly. And they make their list. They make their own list. And if you ever notice, their list consists of those things that they abstain from. Therefore, they're not worldly. But everybody else that doesn't conform to their list, they're worldly. But really, worldliness is much more than that. Worldliness is a state of mind. I believe you can stay away from the movies. You can stay away from all establishments that serve alcohol. You can do all of those things and be straight down the line and yet still be very worldly. Still be very, very worldly in your mind. But we'll look at that next week. Let's look to the Lord, word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your grace. And